Hello everyone, what a delight it is to be here and speak with you this morning. Today I want to introduce you to some residents of my house. They are all uninvited guests, but that does not mean they are unwelcome. In fact, since they have been living there, I've come to develop a great affinity for them all. Some of them were given as gifts. Some of them I received as an inheritance. I didn't choose any one of them. I didn't buy any one of them. They've all just come to me. What are they? Oops. My teacups. This is just a selection of teacups that live in my house. And they all have a story to tell about life and faith in God. This first one, antique pink hand-painted beauty. I have to call her that because she's a mysterious woman. The back stamp on the base of the teacup has not yet been identified. She's a mysterious woman. I don't know much about her at all. What I do know is that in the year 1914, that is 112 years ago, she was given to my grandmother as a present for her 21st birthday. And so she has come down the family line to me. Isn't she a beauty? Oh. She's got a scalloped edge that's trimmed in gold, delicate pink design. She doesn't have a pedestal, she just sits on her bottom on the cup. Her handle is that beautiful curved angular shape there. And she is just beautiful. Antique pink hand-painted beauty speaks to me from the Psalms, Psalm 16, which says, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. He has made my lot secure." Through the course of our lives, we do so many different things, don't we? And we need the security in God to help us through the good times and the bad. Now, antique pink hand-painted beauty reminds me how my life is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first 12 years of our married life, my husband and I moved 9 times between towns, and that doesn't count the moves within a town. Why did we do it? Was it work? No. Was it study? No. It was church. We belonged to a church who invited people to move here, there, and everywhere. And there are many of us who live in Toowoomba, and there are some right here in this room who were part of that church at that time, and we just moved. The leadership said, "Would you move from Mount Isa to Toowoomba?" "Sure, we'll do that." And you know what? We had just bought a house. We hadn't even made the first repayment on our home loan. And we left Mount Isa and we came here. And then, "Will you go to Canada to Bible college?" "Sure, yeah, we'll do that." "Will you then come back to Toowoomba?" "Yep." "Will you go to Rockhampton?" "Yes, back to Toowoomba. Back to Toowoomba. Back to down to Dubbo. Back to Toowoomba." And that's just the short version. Were we trusting the leadership of our church? No. God was the portion of our inheritance. He is the one who made our lot secure. some challenges in those times. We didn't always have a lot of money, but God was faithful. He made us rich in relationships. He provided for my husband to have work every time we moved. And we had friends for our children, friends for ourselves. Our lives were rich because God made our lot secure. So I'm so thankful for antique pink hand-painted beauty. She reminds me that in God, my lot is secure, regardless of the things that he calls us to do. Now, moving along to the next one, this is Rambling Rose. Now, her back stamp tells me that she's quite a modern cup. She's a Maxwell and Williams, and I received her as a gift in 2005. Antique pink hand-painted beauty lives in the china cabinet, and she has a cake plate that goes with her. Rambling Rose, she lives in my kitchen cupboard. She has another friend, exactly the same, cup, saucer and plate, plus a teapot, a milk jug, and a sugar basin. And so she lives in my kitchen cupboard for easy access if someone pops in for a cuppa. Rambling Rose speaks to me of service. You know, Ephesians says that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand for us to do. And over a lifetime, we have so many opportunities for service, whether it's in our family, our church, the community, wherever God places us, we have opportunities to serve, for service. And so some of the service that God has prepared for me beforehand was that in the early years of my marriage, probably for about the first 24 years or so, I was basically at home. And so the service that I had in those days was focused around music and mothering. So I had a little music teaching studio at home, and it wasn't anything big, but it was enough to keep my hand in, and I'd have young people to my house and we would do lots of music together. Then God led me to homeschool our children. Now that was different. I hadn't really thought that I would do that, but that's what God led me to do, and so we did. And they were such rich and fulfilling years. It was amazing. In 2005, when I received Rambling Rose, our years of homeschooling were completed. Our youngest child finished year 12. And I thought, well, I'm not even 50 years old. Now what am I going to do for the rest of my life? But Rambling Rose has the answer. She has long green shoots that come out of her. And she tells us that what you do in one area of your life during one period of time, God can use that as a foundation for the next thing that he has for you. And so a few years after that, God led me and gave me the privilege to begin the work of Eva's Place Pregnancy Support here in Toowoomba. And again, those years were so rich and fulfilling. Who would have thought that God would have that act of service hidden away, waiting for me to be ready to do that? But that's what Rambling Rose reminds me of. And now I'm not responsible for that organization anymore. That's gone on to a new generation of people. What does Rambling Rose have to say about that? Well, her shoots are still going out. Her long shoots are still going out. And what she has to say is that service in God's kingdom never stops. Psalm 92 verses 12 to 15 says, "The righteous person will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age." I like that. "They will be full of sap and very green, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Rambling Rose, she speaks of service. Ah, Royal Albert, fine bone china. This is the pattern, Old Country Roses, and that was designed in the 1960s. Now, Old Country Roses, she has a slight scalloped edge, beautiful gold trim, and of course this delicate floral pattern where you have a red and a yellow flower very close together, surrounded by some greenery. Old Country Roses came to me when I was 20 years old. My aunt said to me, "I know that you and Rodney are going to get married one day, and I want you to have something nice." So Old Country Roses is part of a tea set. There are 6 cups, 6 saucers, 6 plates, a teapot, a sugar basin, and a milk jug. And she is also in pride of place in the china cabinet. The funny thing about Old Country Roses is that I do have to admit it is my most favourite one. And my family have delighted over the years in finding other pieces that belong to this pattern. They scour op shops and outlet shops and online. And so sometimes I feel like my house is like a china shop because there are so many Old Country Roses pieces in the shop, in my house. But Old Country Roses, she speaks to me of relationship. See the red and yellow colour that are close together? Now, red and yellow are colours that you don't usually see together, do you? You don't typically wear a red shirt with a yellow jumper or a red top and a yellow bottom. They're just not quite right together. And there was a time when God used this very cup to speak to me about a particular relationship. I was all red and the other person was all yellow. And quite honestly, we were not doing very well together. And God showed me that my red had to be worked on to be just the right shade of red, so that I could sit up close with the right shade of yellow. And isn't that the way it is with relationships? There's a verse in Ephesians that says, "And be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you." And I found that that lesson that I learnt quite a long time ago about relationships through Old Country Roses has stood me in good stead. I've needed to know that for the different acts of service that God has given me to do. I've needed to allow God to work on me to make me the right side of the right shade of red, so I could sit comfortably with others who may be of more yellow tones. Now, here is Rose Horizon. She's quite different from the other cups, isn't she? She does not have a floral pattern. She does not have a floofy little scallop edge. She does not have her edges covered in gold. But she's very elegant. She has straight lines and she is very tall. Rose Horizon, oh, and she doesn't have a pedestal base. She just sits neatly, no fuss, on the saucer. Rose Horizon is part of a dinner set and she lives in the sideboard We have 6 cups, 6 saucers, 6 side plates, 6 salad plates, and 6 dinner plates. Part of a whole dinner set. But do you notice something about Rise Horizon? Maybe the people up close can see. She's got a chip in her. Unfortunate.
Can't throw it out.
Can't throw it out. Having a chip does not disqualify her from use. And that's the important thing. Rose Horizon speaks to me of brokenness and mistakes. And in one way that can sum up our lives, isn't it? It can. We all have areas of brokenness. We've all made plenty of mistakes. Earlier this year, I had the opportunity to attend a conference in New South Wales. And it started on the Friday afternoon, and then in the Friday evening, the first activity was a paint. You know those paint and sip things that are popular at the moment? Well, we didn't do any sipping, but we did the painting. I can't paint. Seriously, I have never learned to paint. I don't know what to do with a paintbrush in my hand. I just don't have a clue. I'm not an artist. I don't know. And there was this guided painting activity. And we were given a piece of paper and some paint and a brush and a jar of water. And the instructor at the front, you know, she was so good. But she said, now just get your brush and take a little bit of blue paint and put it on your paper. So I just got the brush and stuck it in the paint and put it in the top left-hand corner. It was a picture of an urn. We're supposed to be doing an urn, and it had a rural forest sort of scene on it. But it had a sunset in the sky, so I just put the blue on where she said, and then I couldn't move it. There was this big, fat blob of blue in the top left-hand corner of my paper. Now just get a little bit of pink and a little bit of yellow and let's bring it down and make the sunset.
Oh, I
so identify. Oh, boy. So then I have pink and yellow blob. And then we come down into the trees of the forest. Well, mine did not look like trees. I had green blobs on the page then. So around my table was a table of 8 people, and all the ladies were loving this. Chatter, 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 chatter. They're all talking together. I was quiet. Nothing. Oh my goodness, this is just the worst thing I've ever done. I just cannot paint. Anyway, the lady sitting next to me on my left, she was from South Australia. And at one point she looked over at me, at my painting, and said, what's the matter, Juliet? Have you finally found something that you're not good at?
Oh.
And I thought, And so
the yellow person.
There was kind of a little bit of silence around the table then, and everybody was looking at my painting. And I said, I already knew I couldn't paint. I didn't have to come to a conference to discover that I can't paint, and I don't really care that I can't paint. I can do other things, and so it doesn't matter. But what mattered in that moment was how exposed I felt. Oh my goodness. Never mind that I'd just been the keynote speaker and given the keynote address in the afternoon session. Anyway, and so everybody then just got back to their painting and I just got back to my whatever I was doing.
Lobbing.
And you know what? The Holy Spirit came to me and said, there is beauty in the brokenness. And I thought, wow, this is something that is so inconsequential in the whole scheme of things. I know I can't paint. I don't really care. I did feel the vulnerability of being exposed, like that little chip in Rose Horizon couldn't hide the brokenness in that area. But there is beauty in the brokenness. And as I thought about it, I thought, hey, this whole exercise has been a success for me. Because that was the point of it. We were all supposed to be painting, and then when our paintings were complete, we were supposed to do great big crack marks through the painting and then fill it in with gold paint to show that God comes in to brokenness and makes something beautiful. And I thought, I have just experienced this in a really inconsequential way, but God has done that for me. And later when I arrived back home, I just stumbled across this quote from the author Ann Voskamp, which says, "The deeper you know your own brokenness, the deeper you can experience your own belovedness." And I've let that sit with me for a couple of months. And even though the whole thing is very silly and it's only about painting, it is so true. And the lesson is so true. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, I'm sure you're aware of that. "My grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in weakness." Thank you, Rose Horizon, that you have a chip in you and we can learn about brokenness. Windsor Bone China. Isn't she beautiful? Now, I just love this one. So much gold. Again, the scalloped edge, whole entire handle coated with gold. But she's very practical, isn't she? Because she has a plate and a saucer in one. So she is actually called a hostess set. And she's very practical because if you're standing around having a cup of tea, you can have your little cup of tea, but then you can also have your food on the side. And you don't have to juggle a saucer and a plate and a mug or anything. It's all there together. So practical. Windsor Bone China. I don't know what happened to the Windsor Bone China Company, but all the other companies give their teacups beautiful names like Old Country Roses and Rambling Rose and Rose Horizon. This one, her back stamp tells me her name is 422. So while the design is so practical, even her name is very practical too. So she's Windsor Bone China, number 422. And she speaks to me of how practical the kingdom of God is. Isn't the kingdom of God practical? I just love how God makes everything so, so practical. One way in which the kingdom of God is so practical can be seen in healing. Now, we've prayed for healing this morning and we've had experiences of healing. I want to just tell you one quick little story about healing in my family. Over a decade ago, our youngest child was in Brisbane. She was coming up for a singing exam. She was studying classical voice at the conservatorium. And the morning of her singing exam, I texted her and said, "All the best for your exam today." And she texted back and said, "I haven't got a voice. I've got a cold." And I thought, oh, well, how's that going to go? So I texted her back and said, "Be healed in Jesus' name." Later that day, she texted me and said, "After I got your text, I sneezed and all this gunk came out of my mouth. And then I could sing." And she did her exam. So, the practical nature of the kingdom of God. I've got an Eva's Place story for you. I think I'm still allowed to tell Eva's Place stories. The practical nature of the kingdom of God. In 2017, the building in which Eva's Place is sitting was put on the market, and we didn't know if we would be allowed to stay there or if we were going to have to move. We didn't know if the building was going to be demolished, who was going to buy it. They were months of uncertainty. At that time, God gave me the scripture from Joshua, "Every place on which your foot treads, I have given it to you." So every morning I would arrive there, I'd unlock the door and I'd walk from the front to the back of the house, of the building, saying, every place on which your foot treads, I have given it to you. Thank you, Jesus. Every place on which my foot treads, God has given it to Eva's place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The building did not sell. The building did not sell. And we were able to continue renting there. Then the building was put on the market again in 2024. I was no longer in the organisation. I was no longer running the organisation then. But I could still pray. And so I said, thank you, Lord. You gave us that building when we first started the service. That was a miracle. You gave us the building a second time when it was on the market in 2017. That was a miracle. Now, God, I'm asking for another miracle, that you would give it to us a third time. And the wonderful thing about 2024 is that at that time the board discerned it was the right time for Eva's place to buy the building. And after a three-month capital campaign, enough money was raised to purchase the building. How did that happen? I don't know. That's just the work of God. It's just the work of God. God is so practical. God is so practical. I've got another fun story from a long time ago when our children were young, and we used to encourage the children to have their own times with the Lord in the morning so that they could just be like mummy and daddy. We'd all be in our own little space reading the Bible and praying in our, you know, our own thing, so they could read their little stories and pray their little prayers. And we used to buy devotional books for them. They were little magazines. I can't even remember who put them out. But they would last a couple of months and they would use them. I think the children must have been 12, 9 and 6, because I think the 6-year-old could just read. Anyway, back in those days, I did the grocery shopping with cash. Do you remember that? Real money in the hand, real money. None of this paying on credit card and hoping we'd be able to pay it off at the end of the month or anything like that. I had what I had in my hand. That was it. So I did the groceries. And I knew I had to buy these three little devotional books for the children. And they were $5 each. That was $15. It's like, $15. Should I go and do my fruit and vegetable shopping first? Or should I go and buy the devotional books first? And I was just thinking, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And this is a scripture that God brought to me. I have desired your word above my necessary food. Who even knew that was in the Bible? It's in Job. And so once I got that word, see, isn't God so practical? I knew exactly what I had to do. We just went down to Margaret Street. Scripture Union used to be up in a little store up above buildings in Margaret Street. Went and bought those three devotional books and then went and did the fruit and vegetable shopping. Clearly, we didn't starve. That week, we're all still alive. God is so practical, and he will direct our paths when we ask him. Oh. I have so many more practical stories, but I think I'm just going to move on.
Five, Julie. Juliet, five.
5 minutes. Oh, okay.
Oh, a bit more. Nine.
Our final cup, her name is Serena. She's a member of the Royal Albert family. She's one of a kind in my house anyway, and I think she must be a cousin for Old Country Roses. And they, who knows what they talk about when we're asleep at night. Maybe they chatter about how they were made in England back in the day and then they came over to Australia. I know that Old Country Roses, Royal Albert's not made in England anymore, but these are all cups from the 1960s, which I have inherited, and so they all came from England back in the day. Now, Serena, she speaks to me of rest. Over the years, I've been called a bit of an energizer bunny. I've never been very good at rest. See, that's another thing that I've not been very good at. Rest. In 2020, I was reading a book called Searching for Certainty by an English author. And the challenge in that book was, what would it look like for you to stop, listen, and rest in God for 40 minutes once a week? And I thought, I have no idea. What would it look like? I can't even imagine it. And so I just went on. And that kept coming back to me. Stop, listen, rest in God. Okay. I'll stop. Because that was the first thing to do, right? So I stopped. I sat down one Sunday afternoon and thought, okay, 40 minutes. Every 5 minutes I kept looking at my watch. How long is 40 minutes? It's a long time when you're just stopping, resting, when it's not your favourite thing to do. I thought there must be a way to make this more productive. Ah, productive, yes. And God cut me off and he said, don't you come to me with your squillions of questions. Stop, listen, and rest in God. Thank you, Serena. I learned to exchange productive for the better thing of presence, God's presence. And it's become a habit now. And I miss it. If something interferes with a Sunday afternoon when I can't stop, listen, and rest in God, I'm looking for another opportunity in the week to do so. So, these are all of my talking teacups. I hope that you've been able to hear something from them this morning that maybe God is speaking to you about. As you look at antique pink hand-painted beauty, does she whisper to you, is the Lord the portion of your inheritance and your cup? Is your lot secure in him? As you look at Rambling Rose, does she inspire you to reflect on your life and the many opportunities God has given you for service and the way in which he has prepared good works for you? Is she also sending out long shoots in your life and reminding you that in old age, we still have the opportunity to flourish in God and yield fruit, be full of sap and very green? Old Country Roses, she invites us to build relationships on kindness, tender-heartedness, and forgiveness, and to allow God to mix the colour of our lives so that we can sit well with the colours of other people's lives. Rose Horizon, with her imperfections, she draws you with compassion, draws you with grace. When we see the chips and the brokenness in our lives, in one another's lives, will we act with gentleness and compassion? In fact, will we realize that brokenness allows us to have a greater experience of belovedness? And Windsor Bone China number 422, with all of her practicality, offers you the opportunity to experience the kingdom of God in the many, many, many practical ways that God invites you to. What miracles and provisions have you seen in your life? And what are you still praying for? Delicate Serena, she calls out deep breaths and the vibrancy of rest. Would you be willing to experience the serenity of stop, listen, and rest in God. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the beauty of these cups. Thank you for their uniqueness, and thank you for the voice that you've given them to speak into our lives. Help us to hear from them what you are saying to us. And I thank you for the invitations that you continue to give us to live, to serve, to work, to rest, and to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen.